The current conflict there is just the latest in Congo. The country was engulfed in a civil war from 1996 to 2002. It's estimated that millions died in that conflict. But even before that, Congo was caught in a long cycle of violence and exploitation. And as the world's Matthew Bell reports, the roots of today's bloodshed lie in the country's colonial past.
What is now the Democratic Republic of Congo came into being back in the late 1800s. It was euphemistically called Congo Free State then. In reality, it was the personal fiefdom of King Leopold II of Belgium.
It was his private colony, the only privately owned colony. For 23 years, he owned it, made a huge amount of money from it, more than $1 billion in today's U.S. dollars.
Adam Hochschild is the author of King Leopold's Ghost.
The government he created, the infrastructure he created, was solely really for getting the natural resources out. That determined the location of where the steamboats ran on the rivers, where the railways were built. And during Leopold's reign, the natural resources he was most focused on were ivory and rubber.
Over time, other resources were discovered in Congo, including gold, diamonds, and uranium. But while the preferred plunder has changed in the decades since Leopold's time, Hochschild says a pattern of violent competition for those natural resources has plagued the country ever since.
It's basically an echo of that we're seeing today, except now there are many, many people in on the plundering, surrounding African countries, the armies of those countries, multinational corporations that have alliances with them, local militias, which in turn have alliances with the multinationals and with the armies of the surrounding countries. It's a huge, very complicated network of plundering, and the Congolese people are profoundly suffering from this.
The most recent round of violence in the Democratic Republic of Congo has connections to the ethnic genocide that took place in Rwanda in 1994. In Rwanda, Hutu militias slaughtered hundreds of thousands of Tutsis. Then some of the Hutu killers fled across the border to Congo. The Rwandan government has used that as justification to launch attacks into Congo. Patrick Smith edits the publication Africa Confidential. He says the United Nations is investigating suspected links between Rwanda's government and the Congolese Tutsi rebels fighting government forces in Congo. All of these armed groups, Smith says, have committed human rights violations.
There's a pattern of abuses by the military, all the military organizations in Congo, and their impunity. And that's really creating a nightmare for the Congolese people at the moment.
Ethnic tensions and the spillover from the Rwandan genocide still only partly explain the current bloodshed in Congo, says Adam Hochschild.
If you look very carefully at what those Rwandans who chased the Hutu genocide makers into the Congo did, they didn't really pursue the Hutus who were responsible for the genocide as much as they started helping themselves to Congo's enormous mineral wealth. And they're still doing so today. So even though ethnic conflicts occasionally get entangled with this, and of course demagogues there and everywhere are very good at making use of this, what's really driving this is a quest for mineral wealth.
The most coveted minerals now are coltan, used in cell phones, and cassiterite, used to make tin. Hochschild says the location of those minerals in Congo might help explain where the worst violence is yet to come, just as the rubber-producing areas of the country were the bloodiest a century ago. For The World, I'm Matthew Bell.